this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I just want to pray for us. Yes, Father, I just want to dedicate this morning to you. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that you are good in everything that you do, Lord. Lord, that your heart is for us, that your heart is to bless us, to prosper us, Lord God, but it's also for us to grow in character, that we will reflect you in our lives, Lord. Father, I want to pray, Lord, your word says you are holy and you want us to be holy. God, I want to pray that you will help us, Lord, that you give us the grace, that you will lead us, Lord, that we can live in holiness to you, Lord, that we can be separated unto this world, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you will guide us, Lord, that your presence will be here, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for every person who has a need this morning, that you will meet it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so my message is called Set Apart. And as I just prayed earlier, I'm not even close there. But I realize that God is speaking to me, because many times we talk about the love of God and the goodness of God, but we don't really want to speak about the holiness of God, because we know how far we are from being in that place. But the more I'm realizing that God is holy and he wants us to be holy, the more I'm getting convicted that in my own strength, I cannot repent and change. It's only in God that this can happen. And 2 weeks ago, when Heinrich just was led by the Holy Spirit to just read Psalm 119, I was so encouraged, because I was listening to Derek Prince on the tabernacle and how the word was the washing of the word. And then he just started reading on the word. And the whole Psalm 119 is regarding the word. And Lynette did a children's church course where they also said, if you want to know God's will for your life, you must study Psalm 119. And then he did the whole sermon on Psalm 119. And I was really so encouraged, because I realized God's heart for the word, that he wants us to grow in the word, because the word transforms who we are, because we are called to be set apart unto God. So holiness, I realized, is not a set of rules of do's and don'ts. It's a lifestyle where we are dedicated to pursue God, to see God with all our heart. A life that we live separated to him, we pursue him. Psalm Hebrews 12 says, verse 14, we must strive for peace with everyone, and then for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So it says we must strive for holiness, because without holiness we will not see God. And you know, many times we say, but that was the Old Testament, and the New Testament is the grace of God. But I truly believe God has given us his grace, which is his power, to overcome sin and not to live in sin and have grace as an excuse to sin. Because we many times, what I hear a lot is, let's say it's a girl, they will say, so how far can I go? Is this fine? Then you're already wrong, because your mind is going to places where it shouldn't go. So it's not where the hand shouldn't go, it's where your mind is already wanting to go. Because holiness is not a thing of what we do. It's an attitude that is in our heart. And I believe that attitude can only be when we are being transformed by God, and not in the things that we do and we don't do. Because if you try to stop sinning, you will sin. If you want to stop smoking, you will just, I must stop smoking. And the next moment, you put a cigarette in your mouth. Whatever the thing is that you want to stop drinking coffee. Ek gaan nog net een keer 'n koffietjie drink. Dit is my groot probleem op die oomblik. Maar, and ek weet, I sometimes feel that God's wanting us to walk free from crutches in this life, that we can focus and trust in him and not on people and things that keeps us going. So it's very easy to come home, you had a tough day, and then just drink a beer or drink a glass of wine just to get your emotions to be stabilized again. And it sounds, it's onskuldig, it's net a glassy wine, but it's actually, I just believe God is saying that we must come to Him. We will get our, we'll get calm when we're with Him, and not because I'm drinking a glass of wine, or I'm taking a cigarette, or I'm relaxing in a worldly type of thing. So 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn infants long for the spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Our salvation is a process. We've given our hearts to the Lord, and then there's a process as we grow in relationship with God. And as we grow in this, it says that we are, that we grow and we realize the goodness of God. And in that place that we understand the goodness of God, we understand that we are a living stone. We are being rejected by men, but God has accepted us. And in this acceptance of God, that we know that God has accepted us, we want to grow in the fullness of what He has for us. We grow into a holy priesthood. And many times you hear people say, you have priests and kings, and the people in business are the kings, and the people in the pastors and etc. in ministry, they are the priests. But it's not true. I believe all of us are called to be to a priesthood, to a holy priesthood. So all of us are here on earth to represent Jesus on this earth, to represent God on this earth. So all of us are called as priests unto God, and the priest must bring sacrifices acceptable to God. And this is the sacrifices that God wants us to bring to Him. And then 1 Peter 2 verse 9 to 11, he says, but you, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a people of God's own possessions, that we may proclaim the excellencies of God who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. So we all are called as priests. We are God's people. And you know, in counseling, I realized the biggest downfall that most of us as believers have is we don't understand our identity in Christ. And we confess the identity that the world wants to place on us, and it makes us where we feel rejected and weak and but God says, you are my people. You are chosen by me. You are a royal priesthood. So there's the identity that God has on us is up here, but we many times want to sell ourselves down here. So when we understand what God has called for us, that we understand we are not from this world anymore, we are God's people, then we start realizing that God wants us to walk away from the passions, the sin that is inside you. And I must be honest with you, in preparing for this message, I was so attacked. It was terrible. I thought, and then at this stage, as I read the word, I realized at the moment, there was the release now. It's just something amazing that I realized in the Word how God set us free by when we spend time in the Word. So we are called to worship. And I believe in the Old Testament, God has given us pictures or types of how we should worship. And I want this morning to look at the tabernacle of Moses. I can just want to give you that picture that the tabernacle has. And I'm just going to read to you Hebrews 9, verse 1 to 7. It's not on the board. So now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness, for a tent was prepared in the first section, in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place. having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna, and Aaron's staff that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing the ritual duties, but into the second only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. So this is how the tabernacle looked like, and it's very difficult, and I'm still not there, but it's taken me years to understand what the tabernacle of Moses looked like. Maybe you are more clever than me, but it was very difficult for me to understand when I read through Exodus and even Leviticus and all these different festivals and all these things that had to be done. So I decided to do something different, to show you a video clip of what it looked like, that you can maybe walk in it through me. And then I just want to look at the symbolism of the different aspects and how all of these things are pointing to Jesus and to pointing to us, how we should enter into worship with God. So I can just show you on the outside. So the outer court was where that white curtain was. Then there was a brazen altar where there was a sacrifice made, and there was a fire on it where it burned the animal that was sacrificed over there. Then there was a brazen laver where washing had to be done, so the priest would wash himself, and then he would go into the holy place. And as he entered the holy place, on the left hand was this huge lampstand or menorah with seven lamps, and on the other side was a table in gold with 12 bread on it, and this bread was presented to God. And most of the work of the priest was done in the holy place. And then he would walk into the altar of incense. And the altar of incense, they would burn incense to the Lord. And with the incense and the blood, he could enter the most holy place. But the priest had all this beautiful clothing that he had to wear. And all the regular priests had a white garment, linen garment, that represented holiness, purity. So, but the high priest, he had a blue covering over that represented the Holy Spirit. He had bells and fruit on the edge. He had the breastplate with the 12 different stones. He had a turban on his head. He looked very beautiful. So on the outside, he would put all of this up, and then he would go inside and he would prepare the lamb, take the blood, he wash himself. And then he would go inside, and from there he had to burn the incense, and the incense he had to take with the blood to enter. But before he did that, he'd take all the beautiful clothes out, so they had only the white garment on, because we have to humble ourselves when we come into the presence of God. And then he would go inside, and he only did that once a year, on the Day of Atonement. And the amazing thing is for us, that on the Day of Atonement, God says, now we have the confidence to enter into the throne room of God because of what Jesus has done. So we don't have to wait once a year. We can do it all the time. And I was speaking to Gerard and Tiana, and she just said, you know, it's not always that easy to enter in the presence of God. And I said, yes, exactly. But if you look what the priests had to do, the whole year they spent into the holies, the holy place. But and the preparation that was done was then to enter into the most holy place. And I believe for us to enter into the presence of God, we must understand the preparation that needs to be done. So I just want to talk a little bit about that. So if you can show that clip, I'm just going to ask you to maybe just forward the first 20 seconds that we can go through it a bit quicker. Okay, so maybe just Moses lived 1,400 years before Christ. So this is, okay, just go back a little bit. Okay, yeah, there, just start from there. So the first thing is they had to enter through the gate. And Jesus is the gate. No, you can let it roll. Jesus is the gate. You can only go through him. And then you see this altar where this fire is. And this is where the sacrifice had done, and you had to pass this fire. This is, I'm going to talk about that first. Okay, so now you get to the bronze and bronze laver where the washing was done. I also believe this is to do with a baptism. So this salvation is done where the altar is done, the lamb that was slain, then the baptism. And through the baptism, we enter into the holy place, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We enter into God's Spirit. And once again, you have to go through this door again. And the colors of that curtain all represent different significant things. I don't want to go into that too much. But you can see the sides was covered by gold. And as you come in on the left-hand side, that's the menorah. With the seven candlesticks, and there was special oil that had to burn in that. In front is the altar of incense where the praise was done. This is where Aaron's sons brought foreign incense, and then they died. And God, Moses said to Aaron, we can't be sad in the presence of God, because God is too holy. And then on the other side, did they show the table already? Did they? And see, the candlelight brings light in that dark place. I believe it represents the Holy Spirit, but it also represents the churches. And I will just, and the golden table with the 12 loaves of bread or bread, and that was without leaven in it. I believe it's the presence or the fellowship with people, and also with God. The bread is presented to God. It's also the words that we're going to speak. And then when the priest comes in, he had to prepare the incense. The incense, I believe, is the praise, and we're going to look at that now. He takes that, and only through the praise, through worship, we can enter through the veil into the presence of God. And that veil, when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn from the top to the bottom, where previously only the high priest could enter. Now we can enter through into the presence of God. So the significance is only one man was chosen to do it. Now all of us in faith, we have the right to enter into the presence of God. And this is the Ark of the Covenant with the two cherubim facing one another. And on it is the mercy seat. On the Day of Atonement, he would take the blood and he would put it on that mercy seat with the incense that he had in his hand. With his one hand, he would wave that the incense would be acceptable unto God, and then he puts the blood, because it's only by the blood of Christ that we can go inside. And those two cherubim talks about accountability. And I believe when Satan rebelled against God, it was because he felt, I was so beautiful. But now he puts two cherubim there that can look at one another and say, sure, you are beautiful, and that one thinks. And it also talks about our accountability to one another in the presence of God. And then inside was the tablets of stone. So now you have a picture of what it looks like. So I just want to, as you come in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 and 24, it says, can you, this next slide says, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So God is faithful. He wants us to be whole, spirit, soul, and body. And when I listened to Derek Prince, what he said is that this tabernacle actually represents our body, the outer court, our soul, the holy place, and the spirit, the most holy place. Because our spirit connects with the Spirit of God, that we are children of God. But God says he's faithful. He wants us to be whole in spirit, soul, and in our body. So John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I believe the way is the door into the outer court. The truth is in the holy place, and the life is in the presence of God, is in the most holy place. And we can go only to the Father through Jesus. So we can only, in following those those steps almost, we can come to the presence, to the Father that He has called us for. So the first thing that you saw was a big bronze altar, or it was also called the altar of burnt offerings, and it represents the blood. It's also a type of Jesus. So Jesus died on the cross. He became the lamb that was slain once and for all on that thing. So the blood, it first talks about the blood, and a sacrifice had to be done every time there was sin. So that sacrifice now was Jesus. So it has been done. So in faith in Christ, He has paid the price for us. He became that sacrifice that was paid once and for all. So it talks about God's forgiveness, but it also talks about God's judgment. So if you're not in Christ, there's a fire. And I believe it talks about the fire of God. How? It's burning, it's judgment. If we're not going to do this, this is what will happen. So the first thing, as you enter in Jesus, if you're not prepared to go there, that's the picture that was given to the priest. So if you've accepted Christ in faith, you've done it, you pass the altar, you go through, and to understand, at that altar we have forgiveness for our past sins. God has taken all guilt, condemnation, and shame of past sin on Him. If we sin, we feel condemned, we go to God, we repent, and we let it go again. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no guilt, there's no shame. He has taken it upon us. We shouldn't live in rejection. We shouldn't live in that I'm not good enough, because Jesus has taken it up on Him. We are free. We are a new creature in Christ. The old is gone, the new has done, because of what He has done. He's paid with His life on that altar. We can have confidence to go forward further. So the power of sin is dealt with. The old rebel is being put to death, and it talks about the dedication to God. Then there's this bronze basin or a bronze laver, and it represents water. So when I get saved, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. But then there's the act of baptism, where I die. And it says, I die in my old man and I get resurrected as a new man. I'm washed, I'm cleansed from the old man, and I'm in a new man. And I'm joking, or I'm serious when I say, I normally when I baptize people, I keep them under water for 7 minutes. So they kick and then I know the old man is dead. And we pray for them and they get resurrected. We haven't lost one person so far. So we'll see how it goes today afterwards. Hey, Mark. So if anyone is trying to leave it now, not that guy, but then you must just block him, because old man is going to die today. But the blood and the water is talking about cleansing agents. You know, I've always thought about it, I'm cleansed by the blood, but I believe the blood is like soap. And why are there so much evil? And there's so much soap, but we will only be cleansed if we apply the soap. So we apply the blood and we wash it clean with the water. So there's the water that cleanses us from what has been applied on with the soap. So James 1 verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away, and at once he forgets what he looked like." That golden laver was made by bronze. And Moses took the bronze from the women from their mirrors, because they would polish it and then they could look at themselves. So when previously they were looking at themselves and to see what they looked like, melted it and they made this laver, so now they can look at themselves, at the intent of their heart. So it talks about a cleansing. Then in Ephesians 5 verse 25 and 27 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word." The washing of the water with the word. "So that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." God has called us, the church, to be washed with the word. And I believe for us as charismatics, it's important that we understand we come in Christ through the door in what He has done, but the washing happens when I read the word. And I don't just read the word and hear it, but I must be a doer of what it says in the word. So when I read the word, I get convicted of, I'm missing this. Oh, Lord, help me in this. Forgive me. I repent. And I start changing to become more like the word is. So we cannot enter the holy place if we don't understand that Jesus has died for me, that I'm new at the altar. I have a responsibility to do the washing. And the washing is the washing of the word, that I can enter into the holy place. 1 John 5 verse 6 says that Jesus, who came by water and blood, not by the water only, but He came by water and blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. And for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree. So it's the blood, the water, and the Spirit. And they always go together. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 2, it says Moses, the Israelites were baptized into Moses, the cloud, and the sea. They were baptized in the blood of Moses, with the Pascha, into the sea, the water, and in the cloud, which was the Spirit, because the cloud was leading them. So when we become born again, there's three things that must happen. We must repent, we must be baptized in the name of Jesus, and we must receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those three goes together. I believe the born-again process hasn't been completed if you haven't received all three. You still go to heaven because you confess Jesus, but the process, and I think this is why many people fall away in sin, because they haven't completed the baptism and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So the whole worship was saying to us, blood, water, Spirit, and enter into the Spirit. And when even Jesus was, when they took the spear and they went to see if He was dead, blood and water came out from Him. So the whole time they were pointing to that Jesus became the cleansing factor in all of our lives. So if you've done the blood and the water, now you can enter the holy place. And I believe the holy place is also our soul. In Acts 2 verse 41 says, when Peter preached a sermon, those people received the word, they believed, and they were baptized. And they were added to them 3,000 souls. And now the outflow of this was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and praise. They devoted themselves, and I believe it's the reading of the word, also preaching, the fellowship with one another, breaking of bread, and prayer. So if you look at that holy place, you go in, there's the table, fellowship, the bread, the breaking of bread, communion. It talks about the praise. So this is where I believe the growing happens, or our soul grows in devoting to reading the word, understanding what God has done in our prayers. And this is the place where we grow in the Lord. So on the first, as you walk in, Jesus in John 1 says, I am Jesus. Moses came to bring the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth. On the one side you have the Holy Spirit, and on the other side you have the bread of life. So it's grace and truth. So we must understand that we walk in both to bring praise to God. It's not the one or the other. The Holy Spirit on the one side, in Isaiah, I think it's 11, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, the Spirit of power and might, knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. It's the seven candlesticks. So the Spirit brings light on the work of God. But it also talks about the church. So the church must be filled with the Holy Spirit. The church that's filled with the Holy Spirit will bring light on the bread that is offered onto the God. That table there with the bread, I also believe the soul can be broken up into your will, your mind, or your reason, and your emotions. That bread represents the will, because your will must be grounded and it must be baked to have bread. So our will must come in line with God. If our will is not completely surrendered to the will of God, we will always have rebellion in our hearts. So that bread over there, to have bread, bread must be grounded. So it goes through a process, which is not aangenaam, dis nie lekker nie. And then that is taken and is baked. So it goes through testing, through fire, to a place where our mind, our will, is in line with the will of God. That we understand that what I do, my will is not what is important, but what's God's will in my life. And it means that my will must die, that I can live according to God. And this is important, that when we look at the table, that we understand that our will must come in line with the word. Then the golden lampstand is mind or reason. In Ephesians, it says 4 verse 23, we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So the Holy Spirit allows our mind to be renewed. So when our will is in line with the word of God, our mind must come in line with what God is wanting us to be. If our minds are full of filth, we will, or doubt, or unbelief, or rejection, it will come through our mouth. We will speak the things that is in our mind. As we speak it, we will not have victory in Christ. But if our mind is renewed, we will start speaking the things of God. And that we will not struggle in our life, because if we believe I'm not good enough, we will speak it. If you believe you cannot jump over a 6-foot wall, you will probably not be able to do it. But if you say, I can do it, then you will be able to do it. So there's a renewing of the mind that needs to take place. When our will is subjected to God, then our mind can be renewed to what God wants us to be. And then in that place, our emotions, where is at the altar of incense, becomes in line with the word of God. So the incense can also be represented as our emotions. So to come into the presence of God, we cannot be down and not here. There's a joy of the Lord that's our strength. There's love, the peace of God. I can't go into God's presence like that. There's a renewing of, I understand that God is good, that I can enter into God's presence, and we enter into his presence with love and praise and thank you God for what you've done. Now we can enter into the presence. We can enter into the presence of God. Then we enter the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, and this is what really got to me when I saw this, there's a box, and basically in this box there's the Ten Commandments. So the whole focus is bringing us to the Ten Commandments. Yes, there's a bud, or a staff, Aaron's staff that was budded. They put out the staffs in the presence of God, and then he supernaturally got these little flowers on. So they said, okay, Aaron is the guy that will represent us in church. And then there's an urn of manna, God's supernatural provision in his presence. But then there's the Ten Commandments. And the day that the Ten Commandments was given to us, at Pentecost, the same day the Holy Spirit was given to us. So we cannot do the Ten Commandments if we don't have the Holy Spirit. But I realize that the whole walk that God is taking us through is to come to the mercy seat of God, to understand that we didn't deserve it, but he has done it for us. And in this place is the holiness of who God is. And this is where I'm getting so convicted, and I realize, oh Lord, I'm so far away from this. But to enter into the presence of God is worship. But the outflow is where you have the two cherubim looking at one another. It's fellowship. So our worship into God, our fellowship with God and with one another, because we learn from one another. We have and the outflow of that is revelation, the Ten Commandments. Worship, fellowship, revelation. We get revelation through God's presence, not through Google. Because we Google all these things, what all these different people say, but we'll never understand it if we don't take the time to present and prepare ourselves in the holy place to come into the presence and let allow God to reveal to us that what He wants to do in us. So in this place, when we understand the holiness of God, it provokes worship. Because we just understand God is massive. I'm a sinful person, Lord. And it's worship. We worship God. So in Revelation 4 verse 8, I just want to finish with this. I've given you a mouthful. And I still don't get it. But I just wanted to give it all to you, to the one point that the angels before God never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come." They don't say, "God is love, God is love, God is love." They say, "Holy, holy, holy." And God says, "He is holy. He wants us to be holy." I'm not there. But I believe that place is understanding what Jesus done for us on the cross, allowing God to cleanse us by the reading of the Word, entering the presence, Holy Spirit, the bread. The bread talks, Jesus says, "You will not live by bread, but by the words that come from my mouth." That's the confessions that we make. In that place, the prayers that we make before God, in the prayers that we prepare, and its relationship with God, to enter into God's presence. And in His presence, we realize, oh, God is holy. He's holy. And in that place is where our provision is. It's where the miracles is. It's where the breakthrough is. It's where the revelation is of who God is. I just want to pray for us. Can we just stand, please? Oh, Father, I just want to come before You, Lord, today and just... Oh, Father, we want to declare that we are so far from where we should be, Lord. But God, we know that You love us, Lord, and that Your heart is for us, that You've done the work, the finished work of the cross, Lord, and that we can have confidence to enter the throne room of God because we have a high priest, not of the Levitical order, but of Melchizedek, Lord. To enter the holies of holies, Lord. That we can know that You've been, that You learned obedience through the things that You suffered. That we can know that in faith, You say that we are righteous, Lord. In faith, we become justified, Lord. In faith, we are being sanctified. And all that we have to do is to accept what You've done for us already on the cross. Lord, thank You that we can respond by allowing You to renew the old man into the new man, because You've done that for us on the cross as well. Father, I pray that You will, for all of us, give us a hunger for Your word. God, I pray that all of us will be led by the Spirit of God and by Scripture, Lord. Lord, that we will become doers of the word and not hearers only, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that for this church, God, You will make us a house of prayer for the nations again, Lord. Lord, that we will, as a church, will love You with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul, Lord. And the outflow will be that we love one another as we love ourselves, Lord. Father, I pray that as a church, You will make us to do the great commandment again, Lord. To go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of Jesus, to teach them to do the commandments of what You've given us, Lord. Father, we want to pray for revival, God. A revival where people will turn to You, Lord God. Renew completely, turn away from the world, Lord God, and the worldly things to a holy God. Because You are holy, Lord. And You say in Your word, You want us to be holy. And God, we want to pray and we want to put away, God, sinful desires, Lord, sexual immorality and all these things, God, that is plaguing, God, this generation, Lord. God, I want to pray that You will remove, God, this addictions to the screens that we have, Lord. Television and iPads and iPods and Facebook, and where we're not spending time with you, God, but we're always looking down. We, God, it feels to me that previous generations were looking up, but we are looking down to a screen, Lord. We are not building and growing in faith, Lord, because we are distracted, God, by technology. Father, we pray that you'll come and do a work, Lord, that we will come back to you, Lord, our first love, in Jesus' name. God, that we will walk in the fullness because you've done it already on the cross, Lord. That we will accept the finished work of the cross, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I want to pray specifically today, Lord God, for us, Lord, who struggle with obstacles in our hearts, Lord, of sin. God, I pray that you will shine your light, Lord, on the areas that is not acceptable to you. God, I pray that you will give us a hatred for sin because the result of sin is death, Lord. And God, we have, as people in the 20th century, have become casual with sin, Lord God. It's easy for us to talk it away, Lord God, or even just the absence of you, Lord, because we are so busy. There's so many things that we need to do, and we, years ago, there were people who wouldn't play sport on Sundays, but today we don't understand that anymore, Lord God. We are not separated as God's people to you anymore, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will bring that back to us, to this generation, Lord God, to this church, Lord, to the church in this town, Lord God, in the Halleberg region, Lord God, people who are separated, set apart to the things of God again, Lord. People who have a fear of God, Lord, who understand that the mighty, almighty God who loves us, God, who is our Father, He is a holy God too, Lord. And that we will seek you in all that we do so that we can be holy. And we can walk, Lord God, lives that will reflect Jesus Christ to this world. God, I pray that we will come to that place where we will not be inward focused anymore, Lord God, but we will be upward focused to you, Lord, to your presence, Lord. We will seek you, Lord. We will seek and we will do the preparations, Lord, because all that we care about, Lord, is you, Christ, Christ alone, the hope of glory. Lord, I pray that you will bring our will, our mind, our reason, and our emotions in line with your word, Lord. That we can be love and joy and peace, and that we can be excited again for you, Lord. And God, there's no reason why we as believers have to be depressed or heavy or feel rejected or feel that we're not good enough, because you are saying we are your children. You are my children. You belong to me. You are mine. I've paid the price for you. I just want to, what I believe God is saying to me is, if we feel rejected, it's because we are not seeking Him. Because outside of Him, we will feel rejected. But with Him, there is no rejection, because He's taken it upon Him. In fellowship with Him, we cannot feel rejected. We cannot feel condemned. We cannot feel those things, because we can only feel love and acceptance and the goodness of God. And I just believe God is handing out and giving us an invitation to fellowship with Him. Just come to me, you are heavy laden and who needs rest, I'll give you rest. Give me your burdens. Just come to me. Come to me. If there's anyone this morning that they just feel they want to respond to a word that the Lord has given them this morning, they feel they need to respond. Maybe just to come forward for prayer and say, this is an area, maybe I'm struggling in my emotions or my mind. I'm struggling in that area, or my will. I'm a rebel at heart, and I don't know what to do, but I need prayer, and I really need someone to pray with me. Or you realize that you're not spending time in the Word, and you just want to make a commitment that God must do a work in you. I want to invite you to come forward that we can pray with you. And don't be afraid. Just respond, because God is good. God is love. And just respond to Him, and not to me, but to the Almighty God. And know that when you do it, that you come to a God that is really, that is good in every way. And His holiness is reflected in His love and His goodness and His mercy and His kindness and His all characteristics of who God is. He cannot be those things if he wasn't holy. Because God is light, and in Him there's absolute no darkness. He is good in every way. In the name of Jesus. If there's anyone that want to respond, I want to invite you to come forward. And then for the rest, we want to ask you to enjoy your holiday, and may God bless you. And we'll see you next week. Amen. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.